Phil Kamibayashiyama is going to be preaching this evening, and most of you know well who he is, but just in case you don't, we have supported the Kamibayashiyamas on the mission field in the Philippines for a lot of years. And in fact, I was talking to Phil in the corridor, and he was looking in one of the classrooms out here, and one of those rooms was the first room that he came to when he was enrolled at Marquette Manor Baptist Academy a long time ago, when he was just 9 years old. And he doesn't look nearly old enough to be as long ago as he said that was, but it was many, many years ago. And so Phil has just been a part of our ministry for so many years. And he and his wife and kids are on furlough for this school year. And in fact, Mark and Paul are enrolled at the academy for this school year. And so Phil and I were talking, and I just want to have those opportunities where we can to have him preach to us. And this was one of the times when they would not be on the road, and they would be in town. And since we had Brother Jake Friesen's funeral today, it was helpful to me to not have to preach this evening as well. Plus, I get the treat of hearing Phil preach, so you come if you would.
Good evening. First of all, I want to take this opportunity to say I'm very thankful to be here. We are glad that we are back here. Of course, that's mixed feelings for a missionary. We always kind of feel like fish out of water when we're here in the States. But this is a good aquarium to move to temporarily here at Marquette. You know, a missionary is like a professional visitor to different churches. This is part of our calling to be good visitors at all the churches we go to. And I would estimate, I was thinking about this today, that surely we have visited over 200 fundamental Baptist churches since we've been missionaries. And out of all those 200 fundamental Baptist churches, I would still choose Marquette to be our home church. You folks are a great blessing to us, and it's nice to, you know, the Lord is very good to us as missionaries to give us places that we can call home, and Marquette is our home church, so we are very glad to be here. Tonight's message is going to be a topical message, so we're going to look at a number of verses. But I'd like to start by asking a question. Do you think it is really true that man shall not live by bread alone? Do you think that's really true, that man shall not live by bread alone? When you think about it, there are actually, 7 billion people in the world and 100 million people in the Philippines, 8 million people in Chicago. And many of them are living by bread alone, by physical provision, with really no thought of God's word and spiritual things. And so they are living by simply based on the physical things. What is the resolution to that? I want you to turn your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And this is the first of several verses we're going to look at. But all of these passages relate to this one overall truth. And this is the truth tonight that I'd like us to see from God's Word. That we must meditate on God's Word to be truly blessed. We must meditate on God's Word to be truly blessed. And I know there's many things we need to do in the Christian life, and my objective is not to add another burden to you of something you must do as a Christian. Actually, what I'm trying to do is, from God's Word, for us to see how our Christian life can be truly blessed if we meditate on God's Word. So our first passage is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, that has that verse that I alluded to. And Deuteronomy 8:3 says, "And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." And the truth here is that real life is when we live by God's word, by every word that comes from God. Deuteronomy 8 is describing the Israelites 40 years in the wilderness, and also God's purpose for it. Why did God allow them to suffer for 40 years in the wilderness? Verse 3 tells us he was humbling them and allowing them to hunger and fed them with manna. And the purpose is that he might make you know that man does not live by bread only, but by God's word. So God allows his children to suffer so that we might know that physical provision is not enough. Physical things and focusing on physical things, physical provision, is not enough to live. Now, is it possible to live by physical provision? Yes, but what this verse is revealing to us is that is not really living. That's not really living. Man does not live by bread only. If someone lives by bread only, his living is not really living as God intended him to live, as God really defines life to be. Physically living only is not really living, according to God. Real life is when we live by every word that proceeds from God, when we live by God's word. And that means that we are living with God's word as our rule for life and God's word as the strength for our soul. And when God's word is the rule, the guide for our life, and God's word is the strength and the food for our soul, then we experience real life, true living. Real life is a daily relationship with Jesus Christ by his word. Real life is walking in fellowship with the Lord Jesus by his word. John chapter 17, you don't need to turn there, but Jesus said, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." So Jesus Christ is saying what eternal life is, what life is. "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." So life eternal is to know God and Jesus Christ. So real life, eternal life, is knowing or being in fellowship, having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Life eternal, then, is not just an endless quantity of life. Sometimes we get that idea, I know I did, that life eternal is just living forever, an endless quantity of life. But that is not eternal life. Not the root, not the essence of real life. Jesus said it's a infinitely higher quality of life. Because at the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, according to John chapter 3, you have eternal life. Eternal life does not start after you die. Eternal life starts at the moment of your salvation. Because you become in fellowship, you have a now have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And because you have that infinitely higher quality or kind of life that ends, that continues with eternal life after you die. And of course, how do we have fellowship with Jesus Christ? How do we know Jesus Christ? It's by his word. It's by his word. So the point we're seeing is that life, Real life is bound up in fellowship with God through His Word. That's real life. That's really living. That's why man does not live by bread only. It's by, we live by every word from God. That brings us in fellowship with Jesus Christ. And that's what life really is. Now, what is the key to this? The key to this is meditating. And that's the objective of our message tonight. We must meditate on God's Word to be truly blessed. Truly blessed. And that probably reminds you of our next passage, Psalm 1. Let's look at Psalm 1. Meditating on God's Word is the Psalm 1 key to have this kind of blessed life, real life, life of fellowship with God, meditating on God's Word. We ought to read God's Word. We ought to listen to God's Word. But that is not enough. We've got to meditate on God's Word. And I think we understand this, right? If we read God's Word, then we hear from God. If we hear preaching, we're hearing from God. But if we do not meditate on God's Word, then we are not continuing in what we would call walking with God or fellowship with God. And that's what God intends life to be. Not a life where we get up in the morning and we live our lives and really live independently of God without fellowship with, not in fellowship with Him. God intends us to walk with Him, right? I'm reading in Genesis right now in my devotions, and that's how God created man, what God's purpose, that we would walk with Him. That's what life is supposed to be like. And likewise, even when we have devotions in the morning, that is a good and necessary start. But if we read and then we forget and don't think about God's Word the rest of the day, then we are missing out on really what life is intended to be, fellowship with God. So meditating on God's Word is the key, according to Psalm 1, to a truly happy life. Now, I use that word happy because the first word of Psalm 1 is blessed. And that word is translating the idea of, oh, the happinesses of. How happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, how did this tree, and the setting is a tree in a dry place, in a Judean wilderness, how could this tree be so thriving and green leaves everywhere and producing so much fruit and prospering? And the reason is its roots are near water. Streams of water. Drinking constantly living water. And that is the picture of what we must be doing. Drinking constantly from the Lord, through His Word. That is our water. And that strengthens us. The strength for our soul. And that makes us blessed. We can do this. We can be constantly meditating on His Word. Now, Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3, does tell us, first of all, in verse 1, there is a prerequisite to this. We've got to choose the right way. We've got to choose that way, that the way of God's Word, the way we have to choose to meditate on God's Word, rejecting our own way. Psalm 1 has only two ways. Verse 1 mentions the way of sinners. And the opposite is verse 2, the law of the Lord. So here you have these two ways, the way of the sinners or the Word of God, God's way. Verse 6, the end of the psalm, also points out these two ways. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The only two ways, then, are God's way or our own way. Because when we go our own way, we are sinners. We are wicked, as Isaiah 53:6 says. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So it's either our way or God's way. And we have to choose. And one way we demonstrate the choice that we're making by meditating on God's Word. If we don't meditate on God's Word, then kind of by default, we're going our own way. We have to choose to meditate on God's Word. Now, why is meditating on God's Word the key to being blessed, being truly happy, experiencing real life as God intended it to be? Why is meditating on God's Word the key to that? One verse I think you already know teaches us that we must meditate on God's Word in order to obey it. That's one reason why we must meditate on God's Word. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We need to meditate on God's Word in order to obey it. We don't obey God's Word if we don't meditate on it. It's like there's instructions that we're given, even in secular society. Here's an employee. He's given instructions. But if he doesn't think about those instructions from his boss, if he forgets those, obviously he's not going to do what he's supposed to do. He's not going to obey his boss because he's not keeping those instructions in his mind. He's not thinking about them. We must meditate on God's Word if we're going to obey it. And that is necessary in order to reject our own way and follow God's way. Again, these two ways, the two choices we have. You know that no one rejects his own way and follows God's Word absent-mindedly. Think about that. No one just, without even thinking, rejects his way and goes God's way. That is, our natural tendency is to go our own way. So to go God's way, we must think about it. Meditation is required. Another verse on this, I'd like us to look at James chapter 1. I found this really helpful. And by the way, when I was thinking about what the Lord would have me to preach on tonight, I thought of what the Lord has been working on me about and what I've been thinking a lot about recently. And it's this topic of meditating on God's Word. James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now you notice that both men looked at God's word, right? Both men looked at God's word, verse 25. He looked into the perfect law of liberty. Verse 23, this first man, he beheld his natural face in a glass, picturing God's word. He looked, they both looked. But their end was opposite. One man heard only and went his way. But the second man, he did. He obeyed. And in obeying, what does verse 25 at the end tell us? This man shall be, what? Blessed in his deed. Here he's blessed. This is the real life, the blessed life we're talking about through obedience. But how did, what's the difference? There was a difference not only in the result, but in something that happened after they both looked. The first man looked, and what did he do? Verse 24, he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth. He forgot. But verse 25, this other man, he looked, and what's the next verb there? He looked in the perfect law of liberty, and then, second verb, he continued therein. He continued in God's word. Does that sound like meditation to you? It is. So one man, they both heard, just like we're all hearing tonight. And many people, I hope, have their devotions, read God's word. But there are some that forget it, and there are others that continue meditating upon it. And that results in obedience and blessing. The second reason why we must meditate on God's word is because that is how we are changed. That's how we are changed. That's how we obey. It's necessary to obey. We must meditate in order to obey, and we must meditate on God's word in order to be changed. Do you want to be changed? We all need to be changed. We all need to be changed. I greatly need to be changed. And it's by meditate on God's word. And 2 Corinthians 3 is a good verse for that. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we can be changed, no matter how deep-rooted our bad habits are, our own ways are. We can be changed. And the pathway, the method to being changed, is we behold, are beholding the glory of the Lord. That's how we're changed. And that word beholding is describing continuing action of looking at God in His Word. Continuing to look at God in His Word. Not just a glance and turning away after our devotions are over, but a gaze. Continuing to look, continuing to behold the Lord's glory. Meditating. Now, that first part was to try to remind us and convince us that this is essential. I hope you realize this is essential. To be blessed, to know real life, walking with God, to obey, to be changed. But I want us to notice a third truth here, that meditating on God's word day and night requires practical effort. We need to meditate on God's Word, but that does require practical effort. Thinking God's thoughts instead of our own thoughts requires effort, right? We all think our own thoughts. To think God's thoughts, we have to put some effort into that. Now, let me give you some ideas that I think will help us. Obviously, first, you must have daily devotions. And let the Holy Spirit, as you have daily devotions, arrest your attention with a specific verse or truth that grips you. That's what's supposed to happen in devotions. Until we read and we meditate on God's Word as we're reading it, until the Spirit of God just seizes our minds and hearts with the truth, with a verse there. And, of course, God's voice is better heard when our hearts are still and humble before Him. But let me give you a couple other practical ideas. After devotions, I would encourage you to write out that verse, that specific verse or truth that God spoke to you about, especially to write that out and write about that verse. And some of the best places to do that is a daily planner or a journal. I'm not an expert on a daily spiritual journal. My wife is. She has stacks of journals before we were married. But that is a great help. Once you write it down, write about that verse, or like I more tend to do, just write out the verse on a card or my planner, then it helps you to get that verse in your mind. Third, I want to encourage you to carry that verse with you. And there are two methods I've used over the years, and I brought an example of two. Before, I would use an index card. Here is an example. This poor-looking piece of cardboard used to be an index card. But what I would do is I would fold it in half. Kind of matapid, or what's the word for matapid? Careful, frugal that way. And I would write out the verse for my or verses for that day. And then, so when you do this, you have four days. And I would carry that with me, so that when I'm not busy or something, I would pull this out and look at it. Now, what I've gone to more in recent years is an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper that I fold in half, and then again in half, and then half again. And so you've got 8 little rectangles here, and on which you write the verse or verses that God spoke to you about. And you carry that with you. Of course, it doesn't do any good to carry it with you if you don't pull it out once in a while and look at it. And how do you meditate? You got to think about, what I do is very simple. I think about what each word and phrase means. I just really, slowly dwell on it. And one of the things I do, and I need to do more of, is ask myself, what does this verse reveal about God? What does this verse reveal about God? And when you do that, you are putting your mind to dwell on God rather than your problems and your circumstances. And that makes all the difference in how you live. Now, maybe, I'll try to end quickly here. Maybe you know you need to meditate on God's Word. And you want to meditate on God's Word. And maybe you have even tried to meditate on God's Word, but you still have difficulty meditating on God's Word. Well, join the club. That's me too. And that's why God is still working with me on this. But I believe the key is what we read earlier from Psalm 1. Psalm 1, 2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night." So the blessed man is described as doing two things in verse 2. He delights in God's word, and he meditates on God's word. And that really is what I'd like to call a conjunctive consequence. There's a conjunction between those two. You delight and you meditate. But the second is a consequence of the first. Because you delight in God's word, you meditate on God's word. So it is. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart, what we're delighting in. And let me close with this example. When I was courting my wife, I tried to see her every day, and when I couldn't, I would call her on the phone, if possible. But in addition, we would write notes and letters to one another. Isn't that crazy? You see one another each day, but you still write a note or a letter. We did that. And when I would get a letter from her, I had a process of how I handled her letters. As soon as I got a letter from her, I would quickly open it and read it as rapidly as possible. You know, kind of like a starving teenager eating pizza. You know, you just wolf it down. But then, secondly, I would read it again right away, make sure I didn't miss anything that she wrote. And then after I did that, then I would read it again a third time. I would analyze it for hidden meanings. You know, what is she trying to say here? And I was trying to get, you know, what was she thinking when she wrote this? And then after I did that, and I put it down and I went my way, whenever I was not preoccupied with something else, I would still think about the words that she wrote. Why was that? Why is that? Because I delighted in her, I delighted in her words. And because I delighted in her words, I meditated upon them. And I think that's the root issue, that we really need to choose to delight in God and his word. There are so many things people have asked me, what's the difference between the Philippines, or what differences have you seen in America? I continue to see more and more distractions in America, and that's worldwide with technology. You've got to really choose what we're going to delight in and meditate upon. Do we delight in the Lord? Do we delight in his words? We need to meditate on God's word to be truly blessed. Let's pray.